All right, do like me and just turn to these scriptures and put a marker. Hebrews 12 is going to be the second one. Matthew 16, the first one. Okay, everybody in Matthew chapter 16. All right, we're going to start with verse 21 of chapter 16 in Matthew. Matthew and John are my favorite two books of this New Testament, of the Gospels, really. From that time began Jesus to show unto his disciples. That's where we are today. We're in a time that Jesus is going to show unto us, his disciples, how that he must go to Jerusalem, suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and raised the third day. That word, again, is to be omitted. It was added by the people who translated the scriptures. He's not raised again. He was raised. Again would have to be a second time. Now there is a scripture, and I think it's in Mark, where it says that he is raised again, and it's right on target. He's raised again in us. On this particular occasion, he's talking about the fact that he's going to Jerusalem, he's going to be crucified, but he's going to rise, but then he's going to rise again within us. And this is the important thing we need to understand. We don't want to be a religion. We want to be a people in whom the Lord himself is living, because he's rising again within our hearts. Then Peter took him, check this Peter out. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from you, Lord, this shall not be unto you." But he turned and said unto Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you savor not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." Now he wasn't saying that Peter was Satan himself. Satan, the word Satan means adversary. Any adversary would be a Satan. And Peter wasn't a Satan, but at that moment he was certainly an adversary. Then in verse 24, Jesus said to his disciples, "If any man will come after me," what does that mean? Become as he is. And I know the way, "if any will come after me." But in the Greek, it's more clearer what it's talking about. We're not going to come after him. He's going to come in us, and we're going to become as he is. Now this is a word you're not going to hear in many, many churches, because they don't teach it. But this is what the Bible teaches, that we're to become as he is. That he is to come forth in us. His life is to take us over. What in the world is a born-again experience anyway? All Christians talk about being born again, but most of them aren't. To be born again is to be born of God. To be born into his world. You act different. You think different. You become different. See? But it's not a thing that just automatically takes place and it happens. It's a progressive thing as you come into the Lord and as he takes over your life, you become as he is. "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself." That is a most difficult thing to do. Deny yourself. Have you ever tried that? A lot of Christians get to this point and that's where they turn around and go back. We like it better just being religious. No, you deny yourself. Then what? Take up his cross and follow him. There's a cross that everyone has to bear if they're going to become as the Lord. "Whosoever will save his life shall lose it." That self-life, that selfishness and self-centeredness, thinking only of self, that's the life that has to die. "Whosoever will save his life," or that soul life, "shall lose it. And whoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." What are we trying to find? We're trying to find his life within us. That's what counts. "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world, lose his own soul? And what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" In verse 27, "The Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father, with his angels or with his messengers. Then he shall reward every man according to his works. Now, I know the way most people think of that, that the Lord's going to come and he's going to reward you for. That's not what it's saying. When it says his works, you ought to draw a little circle around his and put a capital H there, because the rewards will be because of his works through you, not works that you have done, but works of the Lord that you have allowed to be worked through you. See, that's a whole different concept. Oh, God's going to reward us for all the good things we've done. No, he's not. The rewards that you receive will be because of what he has done through you, what you have allowed him to do in your life. That's the difference. In verse 28 winds up this portion of Matthew. Verily I say unto you, there are some standing here who shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. And then when you get into chapter 17, he talks about some of those that are standing there. That's where they go up on the Mount of Transfiguration. Okay, now go to Hebrews 12. Okay, let's go back to Matthew 23. There are some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. When you get into the 17th chapter, that's where Jesus and then Peter, James, and John go up on the mount called the Mount of Transfiguration. And that's where Jesus is transfigured. Then suddenly Moses and Elijah appears. And here's Moses and Elijah, and they're talking with Jesus and the disciples. You can just imagine what's going on. And it's an amazing thing. You realize those who've gone on before and the angels don't talk like we do. Moses and Elijah didn't appear, and Jesus introduced, and most of this is Peter and John over here. Or this is Elijah. What's it like that? There's a communication that takes place that they just know that's what you're going to experience. A communication of the Lord to the heart. You hear it with the inner ear, not with this ear. People say, I want to hear the voice of the Lord. Well, just keep on wanting. If you're wanting it to come in this ear, it's not going to happen. It's going to come into the ear of the heart. That's where you hear. That's where real communication takes place. But verily I say, there's some standing here shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming. Now that was true for Peter, James, and John that he was talking about. But it's also true for us that we're going to experience and know the coming of the Lord. Now, when it talks about the coming of the Lord, you have to get into a little bit of a deeper study than what we do normally and check out some Greek words. The Greek word for coming there is erchomai, and it has a particular meaning in that it means coming, but it also means coming in a present tense and an imperfect tense. You know what imperfect is? Imperfect is a verb that just continues, it doesn't stop. So this coming of the Lord, if you understand it in the way that the Greek expresses it, you realize it's a coming of the Lord, it is in the present and continues. It's a continual coming. How many times, you think about it a little bit, how many times you yourself have experienced some coming of the Lord? I know all of you have. At some point in your life you've experienced a coming of the Lord. When something comes to you, a revelation, an understanding, you see. Something is revealed. Light shines all of a sudden and you know something. That's comings of the Lord. It's not just one single appearance of Jesus in the natural appearing in the sky somewhere. It's a coming in you that's important. If Jesus was to come down suddenly and stand here on this floor, it wouldn't help you a bit. Might hurt you some. His presence might knock you down, but it's not going to change your life any. It's when he appears in you. And his life is working in you and through you. That's when change takes place. That is the kind of change that we want. That's the coming of the Lord we want. 2 Thessalonians. Oh, what a blessed people we are. in the first chapter. Now, Paul writing to the church at Thessalonica, he tells them some very interesting things. From about verse 4 on, he talks about a lot of tribulation and judgment that's going to take place. Let's just read it. We ourselves glory in you and the churches of God for your patience. You've got that New American Standard. It doesn't say patience, does it?
No, sir. It says perseverance.
Perseverance. Endurance. I don't know why King James does that. The King James will put patience in there almost all the time. And God never asks you to be patient. He asks you to endure. Work. Move. Be forceful. Go after it. Be intense.
You persistent.
See. Steadfast.
Immovable, always abounding.
That's right. That's what a man that is born of the Spirit of God, that's what he becomes. He becomes steadfast. And he endures through all of the troubles and problems that comes his way. Verse 5, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer. Wow. You're going to suffer a little bit. Why are you going to suffer a little bit? Because that self-life don't want to die. There's a instinct within man that is built there that wants to protect self. And it's the hardest thing in the world to get to the place where self has got to die, Lord. You're going to have to help me with this one. You want things. You want to do things. You won't. There's such a... That's the way man is. It's not something that's, well, I'm sorry I'm that way. No need to be sorry. That's just the way man is. Man is born with a self. He likes to protect himself. You know, and he wants what he wants. And when the whole world is in a race to get what they want. God help us to want what you are, Lord. To make us worthy of your kingdom, for which you also shall suffer. Verse 6, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. All right, those that trouble you, they're going to find themselves in tribulation. God's going to deal with them. But he's not talking about the people out here in the world that he's going to deal with. He's talking about the people in you. Those people in there that want to lust, those people that want to be jealous, those all of those
angry
things of self, they spring up in many different ways and as many different people. You ever been angry? That's one of them. There's many ways that self can portray itself. And these are the things that God's going to go after. Because he knows your heart. He knows you want to be like him. And he knows how much you need him. And he knows how much he loves you. So he's going to help you out and give you a little suffering. Bring a little tribulation on those things of self so that you can overcome them. Okay? Six was the tribulation to them that trouble you. All those things inside of you that's a problem. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. We have a wrong concept of heaven. We think of heaven as in the distant expanse of somewhere, up in the sky. Heaven is all around you. Heaven is the presence of God. He is heaven. If you're in him, you're in heaven. Well, we've got astronauts that have gone to the moon, or maybe beyond that I'm not aware of. They haven't found anything up there as far as people are concerned. Of course, there may be some up there, some extraterrestrials. But heaven is all around you. And when you receive the Holy Spirit, you are actually receiving some of his presence. You know the Holy Spirit is God. And when you receive him, you're receiving a little bit of heaven. And suddenly there's a contact between your spirit and the Spirit of God. And there's a bridge created so that you're able to communicate with the Lord in ways that you haven't been able to communicate with him before. too many Christians miss that. That they received the Holy Spirit. Oh man, I can speak in tongues now. Well, that's wonderful and great. Go ahead and speak in your tongue. But there's a more important purpose of receiving the Holy Spirit. So that you can have communication with God Himself. So there can be a contact. That you can experience heaven in this life. Ooh, that reminds me. As a scripture. Deuteronomy chapter 11, I think. Where it talks about the days of heaven on earth. Verse 21, since you're there.
That your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth.
As the days of heaven upon the earth. But anyway, you understand what I'm saying. Open your hearts. Open your hearts to the heaven. I hadn't got to the scripture I'm looking for yet. Verse 7 again, to you who are troubled. Are you being troubled with those things in you? Rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Now, the Greek word for angels is angelos. A-G-E-L-L-O-S. And it literally means messengers. So, when it talks about angels, it's not talking about, you know, the winged creatures flying through the heavens or something. It's messengers. Paul was a messenger of God, and in that sense, he was an angel. You see, angels are messengers. But not only is the Lord Jesus going to be revealed, but he's going to be revealed with his mighty angels or his mighty messengers. There's going to be a revealing of many. A revealing of those who have gone on before you. There's going to be a revealing of the disciples, Paul, Moses, Elijah, Aaron, all of them, and the people that are alive today that are messengers of the Lord. So revealing. So it's not just a revealing of Jesus as a person, it's a revealing of the Lord in you, and you're going to realize that there's more in you than what you expect. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Alright, a little vengeance coming. He's coming in flaming fire. You sure you want to know about him in his coming? Comes in flaming fire. The last verse in Hebrews chapter 12 is, God is a consuming fire. Now, I know it. Church-going people, when you talk about fire, they immediately go to the lake of fire. Oh man, there's one day. A lot of people go in that lake of fire, going to burn forever and ever and ever. Our God is a consuming fire. And the things that He loves to consume are those bad things in you that need to go. And if you just have an open heart and let the Lord work His presence in you, He'll consume all that self-life that needs to go, so that you can really know Him and communicate with Him and live with Him and understand His presence that is within you. That is the greatest lake of fire that you could ever experience, is His presence in the way that He loves you. He just burns up all those bad things in you. Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power? So that's not just talking about bad people out in the world and God's going to deal with them one day. No, it's all those bad things that are within us that need to go. God doesn't want anybody to be lost or to miss their place in Him. I tell you what, no matter who you are, where you are, what you've done or what you've been, God's ready to come forth in your life and to bring new life to you. Alright, verse 10 is what we're at. When He shall come to be glorified upon the mountaintops in Jerusalem. No. When He comes to be glorified, where? What does it say? In His saints. He wants to be glorified in us. That's what the coming of the Lord is all about. His coming forth in us. And He's going to do a great work. All those things that have troubled you, all those self things of selfishness and self-centeredness and all those other self things that you've been hanging on to and you don't want to let them go, He's going to help you with a little bit of fire to burn them up. When he shall come to be glorified, and that word come is the same Greek word, erchomai, E-R-C-H-O-M-A-I, erchomai. It means a present coming that continues. It's not talking about a coming of his bodily form, it's talking about a coming of his presence in you. And it's a coming that continues. It doesn't just happen in a skinny minute and stop. It's a continual coming. Because you need that continual coming so there can be a continual change in your life, you see. Didn't we just read in the last meeting from Matthew 23 where that little by little, he comes and he deals and he works in your life to bring forth his presence and to create his kingdom within you. It doesn't happen immediately. I'm sorry if you want him to appear suddenly and to bring complete change to you real quick. It ain't going to happen. But do you really want to know him? He'll work in your life. There'll be a little fire in his presence because he's going to burn up some things that have to go. That's how change takes place. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints. Read it from the New American Standard, verse 10.
When he comes to be glorified in his saints on that day and to be marveled at among all who have believed, okay. For our testimony to you is believed.
Both of them says when he shall come. But the Greek says whenever he comes. In other words, it's not a particular point of time that he comes, but whenever he comes. And he's going to be coming to you over and over again.
Okay. She read on that day. So explain to them what the day means.
Relationship. The day in the scriptures always speaks of relationships. It's not talking about a time period. It's talking about when you're ready for his coming, when you have the relationship that is needed. And that's what we're getting now. We're learning to relate to the Lord. We're learning to know him, to experience him in our life. So that there's a relationship. Somewhere, everybody in this room has a relationship with the Lord to some extent. And as your relationship with him changes, and as you grow and you mature, then you come into another day, and another day, and another day. It's like a little child. The baby comes and there's a relationship it has with his mom, but the relationship changes as the person grows. That's normal. He shall come to be glorified in the saints, and he will be admired in all them that believe. Oh, gosh, you're going to have to believe. Now, this is a problem. I don't think there's any greater problem that Christians have than believing. They have a hard time believing. It's that old human nature that don't want to believe. I know what I know. You can't tell me any better. It's hard to believe. It's one of the most difficult thing in the world for a Christian to believe. Now, every one of us here realizes and has experienced times when, I don't know, if you admit it, I'm just not sure I can believe that. Well, we run up on that old devil of not believing too often in our lives. So there's a requirement on our part to believe. His coming is taking place even right now. Even right now in this meeting, there's a coming of the Lord. Can we believe? If we can believe it, we can receive it. In some degree, we can receive it. He wants to be revealed to you. Now, every human is born has a veil over their heart. And that veil that's over their heart blocks the presence of the Lord from coming in. And that veil has to be removed, you see. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, right near the end of the chapter, it talks about the removing of the veil. And that's what I was talking to you about. There's been a veil over your heart. You want to know. You want to experience the presence of the Lord, to know him. And the Lord is removing the veil. not completely, but it's like one veil on top of another veil on top of another veil. He peels one off, it's like the onion peels, you know. Okay. So they can communicate. When shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Oh, 15. Even unto this day when Moses is read, the veil is upon the heart. Moses or any other scripture in the Bible, when it's read, there's a veil upon your heart, but you can't understand it. I just don't understand that. Well, no human understands it. The Bible is not written for people that don't know Him to understand it. It's written for people that love Him. They want to walk with Him, they want to believe in Him, want to know Him. So the veil that's over the heart has to be taken away. And when you turn to the Lord, there's a turning. It's like He's behind you. You have to turn, and the veil is taken away. Turn to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is Spirit. That's verse 17. That little word, that, you could just wipe it out. It's in italics, and that means it's not in the original. Let's see, verse 17 says, the Lord is Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, freedom. Verse 18, but we all with open face, or unveiled face. Face means presence. When your presence is unveiled, holding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. It's a change that's taking place. That change is taking place in every one of us right now. It's already begun. It's going to continue. Now, here's an interesting thing. Are changed. The Greek word there for are changed is metamorpho. That sound familiar? Metamorpho? Metamorphosis is our English word for that. What does metamorphosis mean? The worm gets in there in the little cocoon, huh? Caterpillar, not just a worm, but a caterpillar. Okay, right. Thank you. And a period of time, what happens when he comes out?
It's a change of life form.
Yes, change of life form. It comes out a caterpillar to a butterfly. Man, what a change. That's a change of life form. That's exactly what it means. When you are unveiled before the Lord, there's a metamorphosis that takes place. Another life form begins to take over you. His life. And you don't become Jesus Christ in one day. In fact, you don't ever become Him, but you become as Him. As He comes forth in your life. You can't take any credit for it. It's all the work He does. Here a little, there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept. As we dig into the Word, as we cry out to the Lord, how many times I've sat on the floor in my little office there, crying out to the Lord, God, reveal Your Word to me. I need to understand. I pile the books on my head. Lord, let's sink in. I had such a hunger for the Lord to really know Him. And I knew I didn't know nothing. I was about as ignorant as anybody could be. But I wanted to know Him. And I was hungry. I cried out for Him. Lord, reveal Yourself. And that's what each one of us is going to have to come to that place. As long as you're not interested, don't worry. He won't be interested either. You don't care much for Him? Guess what? No, He always cares for you. But it's going to take something on that part. Like He said there in 2 Thessalonians, to all them that believe, to all those that hunger after Him. God help us get to the place that we realize that we need You above anything that is in this world.